You are now listening to the Inner Circle Podcast Network.
Hashtag no offense uses strong language and is intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Hashtag no offense.
What's up, guys? It's Riley from The Plunge. And
I'm a 25-year-old bloke.
Now, one thing that we need to tell you is that you're listening to the Hashtag No Offense show, all right?
You listen here and you listen good, people.
If you're not listening to the Hashtag No Offense show, you're fucking stupid, okay?
Are you stupid or are you dumb? One of the two. You must be fucking stupid.
Must be fucking stupid if you're not listening to the Hashtag No Offense show.
I wasn't even a part of this.
Okay. You know what else? You know what else?
Because I am not 12.
And that. Enjoy the show only on Inner Circle Podcast Network.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, motherfuckers.
You know who is yo-hoing.
Welcome back to another episode of the Hashtag No Offense show. My name is Chris, joined as always by the lovely Duchess.
Hello.
And this is a very special victory week.
Yes.
It's the victory week. It's what the whole fucking shebang is about. God damn it.
Tom Brady was yo-hoing hardcore.
Who's yo-hoing hardcore? I got a couple things saved for you. We could get there. We could talk about it. But, yeah, congrats to our hometown Bucks making history in the hometown Super Bowl. And it's great. It's great for us. We're Title Town. I mean, fuck, we have to change the name now. He's not Tampa Two Rings anymore. Oh. He done fucking doubled himself in 1 year.
What do you call that? Because Tampa Six Ring is just doesn't
no,
sound right.
No, he doubled himself. He went from four. 2 to 4.
Tampa Four Rings don't sound good neither.
He's like quad rings or something. We gotta come up with something for him. He's a whole ass fucking cube. He's a cube of championships.
Oh, Tampa Bay. Everybody's Tampa Bay.
You know what?
Bay.
Here's I don't like that. And is for everything that we do good, they have a way to fucking ruin it. Because, like, I hate all that shit. Tom Brady comes here and they start calling it Tampa Bay. And I'm like, that's so dumb. Why are you doing that? And then, like, when you go to games, you remember when we go and they have that chant with the left side of the stadium would be like, Tampa. And then the right side will be like, Bay. Yep. And they fucking call back and forth to each other. I'm like, this is so dumb. I'm not participating in this, man. It's so dumb.
I don't mind it. I feel like when you're in the moment, you just do.
I'm here to support, but I mean, like, guys, we got to come up with some sort of better rallying cry, okay?
Tampa. Not doing it.
Not doing it.
You're going to sit over there drinking your Raging Eagle.
Yeah, I'm celebrating the win. I'm celebrating the win here with this new product from the Yuengling Brewery brewed right here in Tampa. It's the Raging Eagle Mango Mango Yuengling. I don't know, 6%.
It's a tall boy, too. Is that 40 ounces?
It's 24, baby.
It looks really big.
Yeah, that's basically a Yuengling with a little squirt of mango in it. So I'm not hating.
I don't know why they call it Raging Eagle. I feel like it should be more like Vacation Eagle. Because mango's like very tropical.
Yes, it should be Vacation Eagle. That should be the name of it.
Whatever. As soon as I saw that, I thought Eagle Fangs or whatever. What's the fucking dojo?
Eagle
Fang?
Yeah, that's literally the first time you've gotten it right. Whenever you try to do that,
that's
you're like,
I question myself.
It's fucking mongoose tail. Like, what? What are you even talking about?
Because that was the first time he's like, whatever can kill a snake. And I was like, mongoose? And he's like, eagle bitch. I was like, oh yeah, those two.
Eagle bitch. The Hashtag No Offense show is sponsored by Hemp Bombs CBD. Hemp Bombs are specifically formulated to provide consumers with a quality CBD product at an affordable price. Many benefits of Hemp Bombs include reduction of aches and pains, mood enhancement, an increased sense of relaxation. I said that all out of order.
Deeper, more restful sleep.
Yeah, deeper, more restful sleep. Hemp Bombs come in a wide variety of different products, including oils, gummies, suckers, vapes, and even products for your pet. Use code HTNOS, that's HTNOS, at hempbombs.com and save 20% on your entire order.
Good deal.
Also, Tampa Company. I mean, we're keeping it. We got Tampa beer. We got Tampa CBD. We got a Tampa fucking Super Bowl champ. Everything's happening here. This is the spot. This is the place to be, goddammit.
Yep.
We are also sponsored by Onnit.com. Onnit is a health and fitness juggernaut dedicated to delivering complete and total human optimization. Through a wide array of products and supplements, Onnit combines cutting-edge science, earth-grown nutrients, time-tested strategies to help people reach their peak performance. They specialize in nootropics, which are vitamins for your brain. You got Alpha Brain, you got New Mood, help you sleep, help you feel better. You got Shroom Tech, you get better endurance results from your workouts. Speaking of workouts, they got lots of equipment and apparel. So, I mean, like, there's a ton of shit at onnit.com. Use code HTNOS, save 10% on whatever you choose to make yourself a better version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the business out of the way, how are you doing on this lovely Saturday Tampa evening?
I'm fantastic.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good to hear because it's been kind of a rough week.
I know I ruined your vacation.
In some ways.
In a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways, but... So, I took the week after the Super Bowl off, like I mentioned last episode, in the hopes that my boys from the Inner Circle would surprise me and pull up in a stretch limo with titties and coke. They didn't do that. So, I figured, well, you know, at least I'll have the week to myself and, you know, I'll get some relaxation time in, some Zen meditation, you know, I'll chill out in the garden and all that good shit. And Saturday night, I'm sitting in here playing basketball in the studio with Nicholas Smiklis, shout out DJ, and about 2 in the morning, mm-hmm. the door swings open to a frantically crying Dutch.
I was in so much pain.
Now, what happened?
I was raking the yard, and my arm got sore, and I'm like, I'm just old.
We were tag-teaming it. You mentioned that you bought me that leaf vacuum, and you were raking all the shit down to the sidewalk, and I was coming through and vacuuming it up like a goddamn Zamboni, and we were doing that, and we had a little system going, mm-hmm. very non-strenuous, very quick. It was.
Yeah, I don't know why I fucked myself up the way that I did. I don't know if it was the manner and whatever. Maybe I was rage raking. I don't know.
What were you upset about? You taking it out on the yard?
I was just trying to get down all the way into the grass. And maybe I was just pushing on the rake too hard at the top. I don't know. But my arm was sore and I was like, all right, no biggie. And we watched King of Staten Island.
Yeah, great movie, by the way.
Which was a really good movie, which I didn't realize that it was like a kind of an autobiography. Because at the end it had a tribute to his dad, who was a fireman who perished.
Pete Davidson.
Yeah, Pete Davidson, yeah. So.
Does he really have all them weird tattoos?
The first question I asked. And those are all his tattoos.
I mean, good for him.
I mean, maybe he really did want to be a tattoo artist. I'm sure it's not 100% to the book.
Why does he always look tired? What's up with his eyes?
I said the same thing. He always looks like he's on drugs or something.
He may always be on drugs. That's...
Well, he was with Ariana Grande for a while.
Yeah, and then wasn't... Now, let me... Here, I'm really reaching here because this is outside of my comfort zone. Wasn't she so tore up over the death of Mac Miller... Because they dated, that she broke it off with him because like she was still in her feelings over him when he died or whatever. So that I'm right with that.
Yep, you're right with that.
Fucking points.
So we watched King of Staten Island, which was a great movie. And I went to try to go to bed and I couldn't get comfortable. My arm just was uncomfortable. My shoulder hurt. And it got to the point where I was in so much pain that I had to have you take me to the emergency room because I literally thought I had torn something.
Yeah.
In my shoulder from raking. It hurts so bad. I've had 2 children, and I cannot remember the last time I was in that much pain. And as you would put it, I ain't no bitch. So
No. Everybody that I told, you know, they were like, well, what did she do? And I said, nothing.
Right.
Legit nothing.
I was on my hands and knees ripping out the yard.
Last vacation.
Yeah, last vacation, because when we built the little fire pit area, I was on my hands and knees ripping up fucking sod with my bare hands, and I was fine. So when I got to the emergency room, I couldn't even hold my arm up. I'm breathing heavy, like it hurts so bad. So I go to the emergency room and tell them
not to cut you off, but that's what I was telling whoever I was telling about it. And I'm like, I grab Lucas up because it's the middle of the night. Logan's asleep, but I could leave him there because I just texted him. I was like, yo, hey, mom had to go to the emergency room. She's fine. If you need anything, call me or whatever. But we had to take little man because he wakes up in the middle of the night, and if he woke up and we weren't there, he would freak the fuck out.
He'd freak out and probably walk out the front door.
Probably leave, yeah, because that's just how he is. So I scooped him up and got him in the truck, and we're riding to the place. And I was like, out of my peripheral, I just see you leaned up against the side of the, like, the window, like on the door panel, and you're breathing like you're in labor. You're like, yeah, you're like fucking like doing like breathing exercises and shit. And I'm like, what in the fuck, man? Like, it wasn't even like this when we had children. Like, what is going on? And you couldn't explain yourself and nothing. You took me on some wild goose chase to some bootleg ass fucking.
I Googled like 24/7 emergency room or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, and we ended up at someone's garage door and shit. And you're so banging on the fucking garage. Like, let me in.
I rang the doorbell. Nobody came. I rang it again. This guy comes to the door. He opens the door, comes out with a clipboard. And he says to me, what's going on? I tell him, like, I was raking the yard. My arms hurt real bad. Like, he goes, well, do you want to get treated here? It's $147 and we don't take insurance. And I'm like, well, I have insurance. He goes, well, I would go to the standalone ER.
Yeah, that you went to some bootleg shit. Like, that's some cash money fucking
walk-in.
Cash money fucking, yeah, hey, wink, wink, we're going to make you better. And they don't do shit to you.
My job where I work, I don't have insurance through there, but they say if you go to a walk-in clinic and you pay your $50 copay, they have all the same equipment as an emergency room, and it's half the cost for them, basically.
Well, here's my opinion, and I'm speaking completely, as my anecdotal opinion. Okay, so, like, you got tiers here in the medical profession, the hospital being the top tier, okay? Like, the best of the best go to work at the hospital. Mm-hmm. Then the ones that are like the B students in med school, I think they work in the ER because I think they care slightly less, if that makes sense. And I could be off base here, but this is just my perception. And then you got the people that just made it through medical school. And those are the ones that go to them fucking walk-in clinics that got to be there at 2 a.m. on a goddamn Saturday. And here you have you come in crying that your arm hurts. And when they say, what happens? You say, I don't know. Those are the fucking C students. So then when you see those C students, I don't really feel like you're getting the best.
I don't feel that they're C students. I feel that they may have to just make their way like anybody else in any profession. Like, you
feel like it's paying dues?
Right. Like, you get to where you're the best because you've made your way and proved yourself. So maybe you start out at those places, and then that's when you're like, I have this many years experience at this place to go to like a better facility.
It's a very optimistic viewpoint that you're sporting.
Well, I hope so, because they're treating me. So
that's why you got that. Oh, it's like personal. Think, okay, yeah. Okay.
So then I go in there, and they're like, what happened? I told them. I said, my arm hurts real bad. I'm like, I don't know why I did do it. I was raking the yard. It started to hurt, and now I'm here. So I'm in the room, and like, I'm not like sobbing, but I'm just in so much pain. There's just tears just rolling down my face. Just whimpering. Much. Like. And the guy nurse I have was real sweet. He was trying to make small talk and try to take my mind off of the pain.
You get so lucky with that. You remember when we went to the hospital with Logan? Mm-hmm. And you got admitted like a half a day ahead of time because like you were like doing the same shit. You were like kind of like whimpering, and you made the male nurse feel bad for you and shit. The old bitch that came in to treat you, she came in all aggressive and shit, and told you that. She was like, only reason you're even in here is because he felt bad for you.
Yeah.
It's like, damn.
It's true. It's my first kid. I didn't know what to expect, and I was in a lot of pain back then, but I don't know if it's because I'm used to having pain there from having periods, so it's like cramping pains I'm kind of like used to. But the kind of pain I had in my arm, I've never felt before in my life. So I felt like it was just more extreme because of that reason.
Mm.
So the guy gave me an IV.
Walking around with that shit every day.
Oh. Well, the guy gave me an IV, and he told me that my veins were very unfriendly.
Oh. Ma'am, you've never shot a needle, huh?
I guess not. So he shot me up with something, and then they gave me some pills to take home. But even when they were taking my, because they took an x-ray to make sure everything looked okay. Because even if there's fluid in there, they can tell by the x-ray because it would be a darker color. I know that from watching animal shows. So they, because I watched, ER shows and all that stuff. And then the
animal ER
vets and, I don't know, when they show the x-ray, you can tell, like, fluid looks a different color. So if something's wrong, they can tell if there's an obstruction or something like that.
So are you that person that comes to the ER and then you're telling them and they have
to... Let me see my x-ray.
Yeah, they got to roll their eyes and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. You know everything. Let me step back here. No, you tell me what's wrong with you.
No, I didn't know what was wrong. I was just explaining my symptoms and they came in and took an x-ray. And then they kept wanting to take the x-ray on my left shoulder. And I'm like sitting there with my right arm across my chest, like trying to hold this arm up. And I'm like, no, it's this one. So I had to put my arm, because I couldn't even put my arm down. It hurt so bad.
That's so bizarre.
I know. It was terrible. So then I'm just like, tears are streaming down my face as they're taking my x-ray. And she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, it just hurts. It's like, it just hurts. And then they gave me some pills and told me I had tendonitis and sent me on my way.
Yeah. And you told me that shit. And I was like, what? Skeptical hippo tendonitis. That's from some fucking repeat usage. And let's be honest here, you got no repeat usage on that fucking arm. You lightly did yard work for 45 fucking minutes.
It wasn't light though to me. I don't know. It's like I said, the kind of rake that you got, the plastic ones, you kind of have to push it down a lot.
But hold on, though. Like, tendonitis would be, like, it's repeat use. So it would be you rake to the yard every day for the last fucking three months.
It's just an overusage of a muscle, basically, to get it to... Because, you know, Eileen, my sister, well, she's part of our family, but she's like a physical therapist. That was a lot. Well, because I don't want to say she's a friend, because she's more than a friend. She's been a part of our family for a very long time. But she does physical therapy, and she said that it's just an overusage of a muscle. So when you overuse a muscle too much, it just tends to swell up. So that's what it was. And then I went to the family doctor just to make sure that nothing else was wrong. And
they confirmed it.
Yeah. But the first couple of days, I was out of commission.
That was shocking to me. But yeah, I mean, well, yeah. And then luckily...
I didn't sleep at all. Like, no, the first day, I didn't sleep at all.
I didn't either. Like, I barely, talking about the Super Bowl, I barely made it through the fucking Super Bowl, because that was the morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Super Bowl Sunday at 2 a.m. is when you did this. We didn't get home from ER until after 4 a.m., and then by 7:30, you had Logan waking me up to go get a prescription for you.
And I didn't even go to sleep. I tried laying on the couch. I tried laying on the floor. I tried propping my arm up. I could not get comfortable, and I needed you to go get my prescription to help me feel better. Because before I even came in the room to ask you to come take me to the emergency room, I popped 2 500-milligram Tylenol. They didn't You're do welcome. Shit. And then I popped another 2 500-milligrams because I'm like, well, maybe these will help. They didn't do shit. So I'm like, I really messed something up. Because if I'm not feeling any relief from this, then something's wrong.
Yeah, and you got into, you know, shout out to our sponsor, Hemp Bombs, because you got into our samples. And I came in and you were fucking checkerboarded with goddamn Hemp Bombs CBD pain patches.
Let me tell you, those things worked wonders.
Well, I thought I was doing you good. Like, I went to, when I went and got your prescription, I went and I was looking at the pain relief stuff, and I thought about my good friend Uncle Randy, and I said, what would Uncle Randy do, goddamn? And then I remembered Uncle Randy has neck problems and back problems because he's such a fucking physical freak, and he lifts heavy weights and he eats fucking big steaks and all that shit. Yeah, well, aside from that, he's just a goddamn man. He's the man's man. Mm-hmm. And I said, what would Uncle Randy do, goddamn? And then I remembered. I went back in and I said, Uncle Randy fully endorses these Salon Paws patches. I'll get these, and I'll get the extra strength for, like a champion. Mm-hmm. Like a champion, goddamn. And that's what you do. You go out when your wife can't move, and you get the Salon Paws patches. And I brought that shit back, and she was like, this is doing nothing for me. Like, I thought you had broke something. Like, I was scared for
you. Right. I was scared, too. I thought maybe I tore something. But I also only was using, like, one versus I had, like, four on my arm.
Yeah, because they are such good partners with us, they do make it rain with samples, and we had tons of patches, and you were like, I'm just going to open them all and put them all over my arm.
Well, I think two came in a pack, so then I was just like, I'm just going to use both of them.
I came in the studio, and there was just like a pile of trash, like open wrappers and shit on the fucking table here. Mm-hmm. I was like, God damn, dude, what happened?
But even today, and this happened a week ago, my arm still isn't 100%. I still have pain. Like, I still can't get... I can sleep now, but it's not 100% comfortable like it was.
Well, then now you fucked me up because like, you're such a goddamn busybody and you can't do shit. So you made me go do a bunch of shit that you wanted to accomplish. And now my back's all fucked up. My legs are fucked up. My foot hurts. All
right. So...
Had my big ass up on the fucking roof, scaffolding around and shit.
I don't
want
to hear about that because I already told
shimmy,
you.
Shimmy fucking up and down the roofs and shit and going over... easements and
you say you don't remember, but I had called somebody to come do that, and when I told you how much it was gonna cost, you said fuck that, I'll do it myself. And that was like 3 months ago.
Yeah, fuck Thanos.
And the last time it rained, it was just pouring over the gutters, and I had to, while you were away, I think you were in New Jersey for the plunge thing that ended up, we don't want to talk about that.
That will be New Hampshire, by the way.
Yeah, you were in New Hampshire and it poured rain, and I had to be out there by myself draining the pool in the dark. Because
I've been
the gutters
there too.
Were clogged.
I've been there too. Remember the last hurricane? I was out in the fucking yard.
You're a dude. You're supposed
to. I understand, ma'am.
And I would be able to help you if you needed it. And we didn't have the thingy that locks the hose on there. So then I had to stand over there and hold it.
Where'd it go?
I don't know. We always lose that thing.
It's just a simple clamp.
Yeah. So anyway, now you're sore because you had to clean out the gutters.
We're both fucked up now. And now I gotta go back to work now.
We're to the point where we need to start paying people to do things. Because it's not worth the pain.
I mean, I'm with it. I'm with it. I'll pay people. Fuck it.
Maybe we do hire that old Jamaican motherfucker to do our yard work from now on.
He's sniffing around every time I'm out there doing something. He's always like, a lot of work, huh? And I was like, yeah, it is, bro. What?
It's like we already have a pool guy. Why not have a yard guy?
Been trying to cancel his ass for a couple months too, but
yeah. Well, you can't even put the vacuum back in the pool, so
I can't. And it's fucking Saturday, so I didn't want to bother DJ with fucking work questions and shit because he's already told me how to fucking do this shit three goddamn times, and I thought the last time I screen captured the conversation so I wouldn't have to bother him with the shit anymore. It's so goddamn confusing. I don't know what the fuck is the problem. I'm tired of it.
I think the vacuum just sucks.
I mean, I told you the vacuum sucked when we got it, but that's neither here nor there.
I know. I got it off Amazon. It looked like a good vacuum. It had good reviews. I fucked up.
Mm.
So now we have to go spend $400 on something else.
Potentially.
We need something. We can't just let dirt sit at the bottom.
That's true, because when I did get up there, I stirred up a bunch of shit, and now the pool's all nasty and can't even fucking use it tomorrow on Valentine's Day. Because it's all gross.
Still use it.
I mean, the kids still used it all day today.
Yeah.
But they're kids. But yeah, speaking of which, I want to show love. I'm taking a page from the Hood Diner book, and I'm doing a show love to our kids' karate victory martial arts in Apollo Beach. Because they periodically will stage these parents' night out events. And this past Friday, they had a Nerf Wars for the kids. We got to drop them off, and we had a few hours to go kill. And we went down to Ybor City here in Tampa, like a couple of fucking 20-year-old kids. And we had some dinner, and we had some drinks and shit. And it was very nice to get away for a few hours after the week that we had with your fucking broken gimpy arm and then my fucking broken gimpy legs and shit. Like, we got to just go prop up in Ybor City and drink some beers, have a fucking nice dinner. And because, I mean, we really do anything for Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is tomorrow. So, you know, shout out to all the lovers out there. But, I mean, like, we typically don't make a fuss.
No, we really don't. Well, and it's mainly because you've said before, I'm not a big romantic anyway.
You're not.
I've killed it for you.
You did. I wish you were. I mean, while you were in the fucking ER at 2 a.m, I sat in the parking lot with Lucas listening to fucking Taylor Swift because it was all late in the morning and fucking dark, and I just sat there fucking listening to T-Swizz, just thinking about fucking romance and shit because I have to get my outlet that way because my wife is like, fuck you, I don't want you near
me. Sandy me.
Kill shot. I don't want you near me.
That's not 100% true. I just don't feel like I need... I don't know. I don't need it. We've had this conversation before.
I know you don't need it, but I need it. God damn it.
Well, and because I don't need it, I don't do it.
I know. Selfish.
I guess.
Selfish.
Sure.
How dare you?
I show my love in other ways. You have this nice room of yours. I buy you things occasionally. I just...
You invaded this room.
Whatever.
Don't say this is my room. That's corner,
my area.
That area over there, that's yours.
The rest of the room is yours. Okay?
The rest of the room is ours, motherfuckers, in our house. And it's for our show, for our podcast, for our studio, goddammit.
Well, don't say it's ours and then say it's yours.
It's everything.
Okay.
All, listen.
But I don't know. I just feel like we just buy stuff for each other whenever we see something.
We do. But, I mean, time and doing things is the nice thing now because we don't get to do it a lot. So sure. That's why I say, you know, special shout out to the martial arts. They got us out for a couple hours. And, I mean, it wasn't for Valentine's Day. But
it
I mean,
started off a little shaky because I wanted to go to Columbia.
And I dropped the ball, sons. I dropped the ball. Not like a champion at all. Not like a champion at all, Uncle Randy. I'm going to take a drink on that one, too, because I'm embarrassed.
I even said, I'm like, do you think we should make reservations? And you're like, no. Nah.
I'm embarrassed for myself. It was a very rookie mistake. And goddamn, I'll never let it happen again. But we walked up into the place that she had her heart set on. We ain't been to... There's a banging-ass Cuban restaurant in Ybor City here called Columbia. It's been there for 100-some-odd fucking years. I haven't been there in probably 10, 15 years, so I was kind of excited to go there, too. And we rolled up in that bitch, and they were like, hour and a half wait if you don't have reservations. And we were like, shit, we only got 3 hours total. Like, we can't do that.
We can't wait.
And it was after, like, we had a little spat on the way there. So, I mean, on the heels of that, I was like, fuck, man. I even told you. I was like, I ruined the night. I'm fucking sorry.
That's because I was being kind of, you know... You didn't like what I had to say about your driving.
You're overly... No, well, it's not even just driving. You're overly critical about everything. But being that I've been your personal chauffeur and your personal attendant this week because you literally can't do anything, I was like, you've been in the car with me for fucking 2 hours today and you've done it like 5 fucking times, all right? Enough, enough, enough. I've had enough. Stop it.
Even Lucas was like, whoa.
Well, I mean, you know, every man has their point, all right? You ever seen Falling Down? No. I could be that guy.
I don't think I've ever
could be that fucking guy. Google that shit. Maybe Falling Down. Maybe I will. Kaz, I'm looking at you.
But ended up being a really nice night.
Yeah, I'm glad. We went to the New World Brewery, and I had a pizza burger. It's called The Bomb, and it was The Bomb, and I had some great drinks, and yeah, nice little night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I was going with that, but I guess it's a nice...
Valentine's Day?
It was a salvage to the week, too. I mean, like you said, you kind of... I want to say wasted time, because if I wasn't off, it would have been even more strenuous.
Right, but I felt bad because you had to wake up and take the kids to school every day. You didn't get to sleep in at all, really.
I was staying up, too, trying to max out on time. So right. I've been legit on like 3 hours a day last week.
I didn't feel safe driving. I couldn't use my arm. And I know everybody's like, oh, you just drive with one arm. But what if I had to use it for something? Like, I couldn't. So I didn't feel safe driving. I didn't want to put anybody at risk. So I thought it best that I stay home.
Way to be responsible.
I try.
But while we were at dinner last night, we were having a nice conversation, which is only other podcasters can probably relate to this because we're having a nice conversation. And in the moment, I take myself away from the moment and I go, fuck, we have to record tomorrow. Like, why are we talking like this now? Like, stop, pause, stop, save it for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something that we were talking about during dinner and I couldn't remember what it was. Do you remember what it was?
I had asked you if you could come back, if you were reincarnated, if you would change anything or something like that. Is that what you're talking about?
It wasn't, but that was another good aspect of that conversation too. What did you ask me?
I was just saying if you could come back what would you change or whatever? Because you were like, if I come back as Donald Trump's kid, then
you had asked me if I came back, would I do things differently? Right?
Yeah, I think so.
And I said I think it kind of depends on the circumstances, like if I was rich in one life and came back poor or vice versa or something like that, or like, yeah, like if I came back and I had a privileged existence, you know, and then because I think what it boiled down to was you were talking about like getting together so young,
because
mm-hmm. you were saying that you wish that you had gone off and struck a life and then met me at 30 instead of 18.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's pretty specific to this life, I think.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like I said that I don't have my own identity almost. I feel like we're a mix of the same identity.
I feel like when Riley asked you if you had any hobbies a couple of weeks ago, it hit a little too close to home and you were like,
well, maybe.
Fuck, man. Like,
because I really don't. And I encourage you to do what you love to do, which is this. And I like to be a part of it, but this isn't something that I would have ever pictured myself doing if it wasn't.
Fucking me neither, player.
You know?
I ain't set out to do this.
Okay.
I fell into this shit.
Yeah, but I just, like, even with my job, it's not that I don't like what I do, I just wish that maybe I had a more of, like, a career, because I wanted to do marine biology or, you know, something like that, like, had more of a, like, a career
Yeah, but I got to think, and I mean, I'm not trying to poke holes in your shit, but I mean, like, you got to think like a marine biologist. That's the equivalent of like a little boy saying, I want to play quarterback for the fucking 49ers when I grow up, you know, because there's only X amount of those jobs.
I understand, but I'm not saying it has to be that exactly. I'm just saying something along the lines of more of a career rather than just a job I fell into is all, because that's basically what my life was.
Yeah, but you got to understand, too, that's like 90% of people just kind of make their way. You know,
and that's fine.
They find something, they find a niche, and they fucking go with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like, our friends have done that. Like, look at a guy like Adam Simmons. I mean, like, he's living his dream right now with, you know, the pizza chef thing, but, like, he went to school to be a fucking cop. Like, he was at a desk job. He was doing the thing, you know, and he kind of found his way, you know, and he fell into that.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like maybe that wasn't his thing then. Pizza was his thing.
He just didn't know it. Like, right. I went to school for graphic design. I have a degree in graphic design that I've never used, and I sell beer. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you kind of you find what works. Mm-hmm. Very rarely do you set out to, like, this is what I want to do. This is, you know, where I want to be, and I'm going to go for it. And then you get it and you make it happen. Like, that's kind of rare. You know, I mean,
like, I understand, but it still happens.
It does happen. I mean, like, shout out to the people that make it happen, you know? Like, again, like another one of our friends, like Mikey, he wanted to work in Hollywood and he moved to fucking LA and he works in Hollywood. Right. I mean, like, he kind of knew.
It depends on your mindset and your will.
It's, and what you want to put up with. I mean, a lot of people want to do shit and then they realize what it entails. Yeah. And then it's like, maybe I don't really want to do that. Mm-hmm. That's why fucking 1,000 podcasts start every day and then fucking another 3,000 fucking end every day, you know, mm-hmm. because you get in, you start doing it and they're like, I don't really want to do this.
Right. It's a lot of work.
I just want to sign a $100,000 contract like Joe Rogan and fucking get all the money. I was talking to Jason about that this week. I was like, you know, if fucking is so annoying when you see in these Facebook groups and like someone's like, I'm on episode 3. How do I monetize my podcast? Like, fucking, why don't you make another 50 and then like think about that question?
Sorry, you threw me off your face.
God damn!
That'll happen. That'll happen, Mrs.
No, I think that's just society anymore. Is instant? They want instant gratification and none of the work.
I mean, I'm guilty of that too. I would love that. I just understand that it's not practical. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I'm
not saying that I don't love love my life and where we are now. It took a lot for us to get where we are.
Well, like I told you too, you know, being that it's Valentine's Day and being that I am a romantic, I told you I like our story. I like being able to say that we've been together for 20 years and I met you in high school and all that shit. I fucking dig that.
I like our story too.
Because not many people can. Right. Not many people can say that. So. No.
I don't think even when we were younger, we really did anything for Valentine's Day. I remember one year when we had the apartment in Crown Point, I got like rose petals and stuff and some little mini votive candles. I think that was like the one year that I was romantic. And then there was another year in the townhouse that I massaged you.
Yeah, I could go for that too. Mm-hmm. But you only got an arm and a half.
Not even a half, I don't think. I can maybe use my foot, but it might cut you.
Get some shiatsu going.
If I use my feet, they'd cut you.
That's gross.
I need a pedicure.
I tell you what, the only Valentine's Day that I can actually remember specifically is when we were super young. It might have been our first Valentine's Day together, and we dressed up nice. Like, you put on a dress that you probably wore to fucking Turnabout two years before that, and I put on a shirt and tie and shit, and we got all dressed up. We went out and had dinner, and then we went to the movies, and we went and saw Hannibal. And I was like, why the fuck are we going to see Hannibal for Valentine's Day? And you're like, I like it. I do like
Hannibal.
I like killers.
Clarice is coming out with a new series on CBS I might watch.
I told you, they're fucking pinging on all of us with the mm-hmm. nostalgia shit.
Oh, 100%.
But that might be actually good anyway.
We'll see.
I like Silence of the Lambs. We went through a big fucking phase like in like the early mid-2000s where me and my friends were obsessed with Silence of the Lambs. You remember that?
Yeah.
Dude, shout out to the Geek Father, dude. He fucking, that's Nick Smick's brother, by the way, DJ. He fucking found out that there was a musical made. Do you remember for Silence of the Lambs?
Yes.
And he fucking got some of the audio and it was like, it was Buffalo Bill singing in the Buffalo Bill voice and shit. Like, it was so disturbing.
Good stuff.
It's weird how I get obsessed with certain movies at certain times. Because I was telling the guys when I was in New Hampshire that I went through a spell where I was obsessed with the movie La Bamba.
Yes.
It's just weird. Like, I can quote all kinds of random lines from the movie La Bamba. I shouldn't even fucking know, but
the only line I know is Richie.
That's the only line everybody knows. Richie. You don't even know about when his brother Bob was fucking garbage man, and he went to the fucking Universal Studios and found all the cartoons they were throwing away, and he was like, "That's Woody Woodpecker. That's Buzz Buzzard, man."
Nobody could talk to my dad about it.
That's Buzz Buzzard. Turn that back on. That dude's my brother.
My dad watched that movie. It was on one time we went to go visit him. And I was like, really? He watched all those. And then also, what was the guy, Buddy Holly, the guy that went down the plane?
He just likes that era, I think.
I think so. Yeah. Well, we grew up watching that stuff, too. Goodfellas and all the older stuff. Back to the Beach was a favorite of the families. The Humunga Cowabunga from Down Under. Oof. And then another line is, why, oh. Did I ever leave Ohio?
That doesn't hit with me.
He was all drunk at the bar, and he used to date this girl there.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen it. It's just, yeah, that's not Frankie one of those Valley that the, grabbed me.
I don't know. It's just a really cute movie. They're having their pajama parties and stuff, and then all the bikers come and spoil their pajama party, and all these young girls are in their teddies and stuff, and then the mom's hot, so then one of the dudes is sitting on the mom, and she's in this little teddy. She's like, oh, no. It's just a good movie. And then Pee Wee Herman's in it singing about the birds, the word and stuff. Like, how do you not? How do you not just love it?
And now knowing what you know about Paul Rubens, you're like, he was talking about his dick.
Probably. Isn't everybody back then?
And now.
Mm-hmm.
But no, what I was actually referring to is when you were at the table and you pulled your phone out and you pulled out that lady with the gorilla glue and you were like, have you seen this bitch? And I was like, no. And you started to tell me and I was like, nope, save it.
Oh, is that what it was?
I think it was.
You might have to Google it because I'm not 100% sure why she put gorilla glue on her hair, but Gorilla Glue tweeted something like, we shouldn't have to say not to put gorilla glue on your fucking hair. But she... And this is how dumb people are. She had a GoFundMe account to get this shit removed out of her hair, and people donated to her GoFundMe. It's like, no, bitch, you did that to yourself, dummy.
Why? I'm Googling, and I see some videos here. Donating to GoFundMe, $20,000, reconstructive surgery. No. Gets gorilla glue out of hair, video surgery. They had to surgically cut that bitch out?
Yeah, it took like 4 hours or something.
Spotted showing off hair after surgery. Here. People also ask what happened to the girl who put Gorilla Glue in her hair. It says here, this woman used Gorilla Glue instead of hairspray. She ended up in the hospital. Tessica Brown posted a video on TikTok explaining what happened when she ran out of hairspray. A Louisiana woman has sought medical treatment after mistakenly using Gorilla Glue.
It was a mistake.
Adhesive in place of hairspray. That's not what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be she tried to glue her fucking track back in or something, man, because no, the weave was slipping.
I think she just used it because sometimes it looks like it's like stuck to their head or whatever.
Hey, check it out, though. That's a great fucking advertisement for Gorilla Glue, man. Like, they could be like, look, our shit sticks so good, you got to get it surgically removed.
Well, they had the video, and it was just them washing it out. It's not like they had to cut everything out, but they had to like put chemicals on her head to loosen it up and all that. But it just makes me mad. Oh, and then, yeah, she wrote.
I think this is the video.
Well, she put out a video about.
Do you want to see what it is?
She, yeah. This is, I think, after her surgery.
Those of y'all that know me know my hair has been like this for about a month now. It's not by choice. No, it's not by choice. When I do my hair, I like to, you know, finish it off with the little Got to Be Glue spray. You know, just to keep it in place. Well, I didn't have any more Got to Be Glue spray, so I used this.
Yeah, that was an accident.
Gorilla Glue spray. Bad idea. Yo, look. My hair.
Oh, my God.
It don't move.
You know what I mean? God.
It don't move. I've washed my hair 15 times. And it don't move. Stiff wear. Woo!
Oh, my God. Hair.
So I'm going to tell y'all like this. If you ever, ever run out of Got to Be Glue spray, don't ever, ever use this. Unless you want your hair to be like that.
Wow.
It wasn't a mistake.
That wasn't a mistake. No, that was fully intentional.
Yeah.
That's a great advertisement, man.
No, it's
I mean, not. Gorilla Glue can come on Super Bowl next year and be like, "You remember this, bitch?"
She might. You know
our
what?
Our shit stinks.
Our society's so fucked up. She probably will be famous.
Well, I mean, we're talking about her. I mean, like, I don't know how many careers we've launched here at the hashtag No Offense Show, but I mean, goddamn it, we're talking about her, so motherfuckers will know who she is.
Dumbass.
But that
who got other people's money to pay for her surgery.
That can bring us back around to the Super Bowl, though. I mean, like, I have a few impressions of the actual event. The commercials were not one of them.
I don't remember any of them.
We talked about how companies were pulling out. I did notice there were still some didn't make an impact on me whatsoever. I didn't remember any commercials whatsoever. Mm-mm. Now, the biggest impact to me was the young lady who was singing America the Beautiful before the game. Because she was a smoke show.
Yeah, she was.
Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Yeah, she played the guitar.
Her name was Her.
I think so.
I ain't never heard of her before that night. But
no, but she was rocking it.
Hell yeah. The guitar added
that.
The titties were out. Fucking she's beautiful, can sing, and the guitar adds that extra layer. Dude, that's like the fucking cherry on top. I was like, oh shit, I got blown away a little bit. And then we had addressed the weekend too last week on the halftime show. What do you think? Is that $7 million of his money well spent?
No.
You didn't like it?
I like the show. I just don't feel that $7 million was
properly used.
Yeah.
For his mirror box thing and a bunch of motherfuckers with bandage faces on.
Everybody was saying that he's wearing jock straps on their face.
The one I saw was that's the most people in Florida that have worn a mask, you know.
Oh, that's a good one. My favorite part was when they were all in the field.
Doing that, like, line dance, fucking, like, they were all in rows and shit.
Yeah. I mean, the beginning was cool, and then it opened up, and I mean, I get it. That's just who he is.
I thought it was good.
Somebody posted a meme that says, well, if you order Michael Jackson on Wish, because he was dressed with that red suit.
Yeah, because he was out there dressed like Samson.
Yeah.
I want to talk to Samson. Mm-hmm. He's out there twirling around and shit like fucking Dave Chappelle owed him some money.
I like The Weeknd. I think he has a good voice. I like his songs. I think it was good.
Yeah, it was a good performance. And obviously the game was great. You know, people were complaining that the refs were helping Tom Brady. And I mean...
a lot of penalties on them.
There were a couple plays that stuck out to me where I can specifically remember, like, that was kind of close. But I mean, like I explained to my friend Adam, two penalty flags is not going to translate to a fucking 3+ touchdown victory, dude. Right. So I mean, like, I know you're hating, just, you know, try not to let it come out like that, dude, because you're reaching for that, you know. I've been to Brady. I've respect Brady since like 08. Tom Brady was my fantasy quarterback from 08 to 010. Mm-hmm. 010. Is that how you say that?
I don't know.
From 08 to 10. I respect what he does. I watched him a lot during the Randy Moss years when he was out there fucking throwing 50 touchdowns a year and shit. I respect the man. Maybe it's because my teams aren't going against him. You know, like I don't respect Aaron Rodgers. I hate fucking Aaron Rodgers because he's Green Bay and shit, you know? Okay. So maybe I didn't have that relationship with Tom Brady, but, you know, I respect the hell out of Tom Brady, and I'd love to see it.
I felt bad for Mahomes towards the end of the game because his line was just, they were just failing his ass.
Yeah, and that being said, though, he was getting his ass whooped. Right. He's fallen to the turf, like, he's fucking... goddamn perpendicular with the ground, still throwing a perfect fucking pass from the goddamn ground that hits his guys in the fucking hands and they drop. Like, right. I said, if you want to blame anything for losing the game, blame his fucking receivers, dude, because he's doing what he can. He's fighting for his fucking life,
if
and he's hitting
it,
his man.
Catch it.
That's my rule. If you get hands on it, you got to pull it in, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, great game, though. Tampa's defense was balling out. Fucking Leonard Fournette was running like he was back in college. It was just all around team effort. Great game. And then Tom Brady, like we said, he's Florida man Jesus. He was coming to unite the clans. He went full Florida man as soon as the game was over.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Did you see all those videos and things?
I saw where he threw the trophy across the boat.
Did you watch it? I have that pulled up here. I didn't know if you had seen it.
No, I saw tiny clips.
I had it pulled up.
Not like this.
So, and this is, I don't know if this is what we're doing now in Tampa when we win championships or if this is just COVID because this is our second COVID championship. But instead of doing the traditional parade down Bayshore and everything, they do a boat parade.
Okay.
So everybody's on boats. They did it with the Lightning. They were cruising around on jet skis with the Stanley Cup and whatnot.
That could be.
They got the boats out here now. So you see Tom Brady standing on the back of that boat.
He's in the pink shirt.
Yeah, that's him right there.
Okay.
I want to know who he's throwing it to. They're so lit, dude.
It says who they're throwing it to. Who was the...
It just said a teammate. It didn't say...
Name some of the guys. I think it was something with an M. Is there somebody named Marcus on the team?
Mike Evans?
Yeah, that guy.
That was Mike Evans?
Yeah. It was his boat.
I'm surprised Mike Evans caught that shit. He might have fucking dropped that shit and let it be 80 feet underwater, and they'd have to go down to get Flacco, or not Shane Falco. Mm. Remember The Replacements? That was talking about our early days. That was one of our first dates to go see The Replacements. Fucking Keanu Reeves underwater, found that fucking Heisman Trophy.
And that's why you like me so much, because I'm like, oh, it's a sports movie. I'll still see it.
Still see it. That was a good-ass movie, dude. Replacements holds up.
I'm not saying that it wasn't. I'm saying that I'm open-minded enough to see things that I wouldn't normally see on my own.
And look at this is after the parade. Tom
he was way he was fucking
yeah. That's they were saying he's fucking full on Florida man. Tom, how awesome was that? He's being carried out.
He's allowed. I bet you New England turned his nose up at him if he tried to act like that way up there.
That was one of the memes that I saw. It was a split screen, and it said Tom winning championships in New England, and he was all, like, proper holding his kid and fucking, like, standing there, you know, like, being, like, just the man. And then just said Tom winning championships in Tampa Bay, and he's fucking, they'd had him wasted and then throwing the fucking trophy. That's and, like, right. Being all just, like, Florida, just
out.
Being Florida, man, dude.
Wilding out, man.
I love it, dude.
Should have a good fucking time. I'd have a good fucking time if I was him.
You know who I didn't see any shenanigans from, though, which is surprising, was fucking Gronk, dude. I didn't see Gronk doing any shenanigans after the game.
Maybe he's just done.
I heard
with being drunk. I don't know.
I don't think, you know, we ain't going that far. I heard that he was going to, quote-unquote, retire again just so he could skip the off-season workouts.
That doesn't surprise me. That's funny. I like his whole family.
Why? Because it reminds you of what you wanted for us?
Yeah. Five boys all playing football.
Fuck you, man.
Should have started younger, I guess.
I got an update. We haven't checked in on the Warack boys in a while.
Uh-oh. So what is it?
Well, I saw a new video, and then that made me go and start looking a little bit.
Okay.
Do you know that since they've blown up and become an internet sensation, they've bought a, in quotes, mansion, which is just a regular-ass house. It's just...
That's what they call
it a mansion.
Nice.
And they also have bought... They've bought their own pawn shop. So they have a business now. They have a gold business. They're buying gold, you know, and we buy gold places and shit.
Yeah.
And it's the Warack spot. Like they're doing their thing. That's gonna fund their musical takeover.
What was that one guy we used to watch on Netflix that had his own weird shop like that and he dressed real funny?
Sloth or something. Slobby's World.
Slobby's
That's down
World.
There by Kaz. That's in town. Oh, that's in Tucson. I believe it's either Phoenix or Tucson. I think it's in Tucson.
When you said that, that's the first person I thought about.
Generation Cool, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kaz knows all about that shit.
He's trendy. Uh-oh. Reading off their phone again. Gotta memorize your lyrics.
Warack in this thing, you already know what it is. Look like the tiger's out of the bag and they know we can barely
They're behind a firestone.
Rat. Hit 'em with some bars, fellas. Yo, jumping off a shit, I was born.
It's snowing.
Had to get a bricks. I was coming straight off the porch. Remember hitting licks, so they the ones
won't let me
that
turn
talk
the volume
on
down.
The internet. We catch them when they walk. Warack in this bitch.
Here
big
we
clips, we hunting it's off season.
One of them probably
fucking
works
punching
there.
On youngins, bugging even your
I wanted to adjust it because they you can
just pour it, love
he almost busted his shit, dude.
It's slushy.
Like, I spit on him before I beat
You
him.
Can hear the
get
wind across the mic,
crew,
so that's why I want to turn it down a little bit.
Make some noise, bring your food, raise your voice, get it too. I've been rocking with gangsters. It takes four to clear a room. I came with 30. Imagine what the fuck that
they were playing in the snow.
Hey, yo, Chief Beast, come and eat this beef in the promise and none but dinner.
My man busted out of a stack of tires like Ninja Turtles. You remember that arcade game when the foot soldiers came out of the tires?
Hell yeah, dude. He's got to get his lyrics out.
Shit.
I can't stand that wind.
I need to preach in my wee bits like Jesus and teachers. I'm screaming, I mean, this my weed really got me lit. I start chasing the cheese and the wee sitting with a chief and my TV getting freaky on the weekends. Like, whoa, should I get some sleep? Hell no, because I'm too busy chasing my dreams on the floor just to see my money stack.
This is high quality with that wind, dude.
Get the cheddar and feed the team. I'm in it to win it. I'm a chief, not a hero. A bitch to get it, you know.
I'll look at him dancing.
There goes Johnny Depp throwing snowballs.
I was gonna say, that's your brother throwing that hammer right there.
Awkward. Hammer done made it out straight from the dirt. Hammer time's lined up out outside the church. Hammer known to smoke you like that perk. Yeah, my mama, you a snake, but we different breeds.
Different.
Like if we both play ball, but we in two different leagues. Moving from lessons that
going crazy in the back.
Police and tab, but you get tagged by this beat. All I hear is hammer this and hammer that. Until they hear this hammer go, good after that. Thought you was a real felon, how you turn a rat. Hammer just a code name for my strap. Shout out to the
hammer. Why did I pull over his hats off?
It's cold out there, man. Come on, what are you doing?
No matter how much you try to take us, we dump it, bitch. Screaming, thug the ass. Screaming, big W shit.
Never yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta catch us outside.
I want to be the cameraman. If I was a cameraman, I'd probably just be laughing the whole time.
If you were the cameraman, I'd like to think that you would hold the fucking microphone so it didn't just get the wind blowing in it. I understand you're in goddamn Rhode Island and it's fucking February and it's snowing and you're trying to prove a point out at the fucking Firestone and shit and you got your man all tucked up in a stack of tires, but goddamn it, dude, right. Come on. Show me a little bit of quality. You guys got a mansion now. You guys got a fucking pawn shop now. You guys are living the life. It's Warax world and we're all just a part of it, okay? So you got to show me some fucking production.
Right, he's probably like, what can our boy jump out of now? You know, unicorn chick, box chick, shed chick, tires, bruh.
That makes sense. You said he probably works there because you remember the one where he came down on the lift? He was up on the fucking tire.
Yeah.
Dude, they were just, or that's like his dad's Firestone
probably.
Or something.
Somebody owns something and one of them idiots worked there. That's like if you and Ben made a video at the fucking tile store.
Oh, we could have, man. We had a cast of characters at that place.
Mm-hmm.
We could have did something like that. Delicious.
It's good.
Delicious, mm-hmm. Huh?
Margarita.
I was surprised that this is a late night recording session. I was surprised that you wanted to still run this.
Yeah, tonight. Well, I had a meeting.
You had a meeting?
Yeah, my sister, you know, my mom, it'll be 2 years this year that she's passed away. And my friend, again, she's more than a friend, Eileen, she's been part of our family for a really long time. She lost her dad this year, and she also lost her Aunt Bonnie recently. So they asked me if I wanted to get together and get this book about grief and kind of just talk about the stages of it and try to help cope with, you know, this, I guess, just grieving in general.
Do you feel like you have a need for that?
I didn't get the book. I read the back of the book and I'm like, you know, I don't feel like this is really geared towards me. I feel like I deal with my grief. I don't hold it in. We talk about my mom pretty regularly.
We've even had some like pretty in-depth conversations on this podcast about like the afterlife and where potentially she might have ended up and like,
yeah,
you know,
come to tears a couple times about it,
yeah.
Especially when we were doing that Duncan Trussell stuff.
Yeah,
with
well,
his
exactly.
Mom's
that's,
show.
Yeah, that's the one.
So I was trying to relate to that. But I feel that I'm doing a pretty good job about coping with it. She actually came up today because out of nowhere, Lucas, on the way home from the, I went and took the boys for haircuts. We went and got them some new shoes today. And I almost cried because Logan's a fucking size 8 in men's ass shoes. And I was like, oh, my baby. But on the way home, out of nowhere, Lucas was like, I'm so glad I was born in Chicago. And then Logan's like, yeah, you know, that's why you're called Snow Baby, because you were born in Chicago in January and it's snowing. And,
it was minus 30 the morning we went to get that baby taken out of you.
Yep. And then Logan was like, I remember living up there and we play in the snow. I was like 3 and we went there. And I was like, yes, and Uncle Jimmy shares a video of us every year with the snowball fight, like in the front of my mom's house with, in front of the Stratus and stuff. And my mom's talking in the video, and he shares it every year about it. And I was like, yeah. And I said, Uncle Jim shares this video. I'll show it to you. And I was like, you can hear Busha talking on the front porch. And then he's like, oh. He's like, you just reminded me I forget how he said it, but basically he said, you just reminded me about how, a tragic situation or something like that or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that sounds like the way he would word it.
Yeah. Or something about how, what a real tragedy is or something like that. Something along the lines of like, oh man, it just popped in my head that she's no longer here. And I was like, well, it's okay to be sad about it. I said, it's just part of life, unfortunately. And I was like, you deal with it the way you feel like you need to, you know?
Mm.
So I don't hide it or try to mask it or say it's not okay to be sad about it. So I feel like I'm doing well with it. My sister does not talk about it. She's not doing well with it. So I don't know if it's because I'm doing a little better with it because I was there till the end. Like, I was there.
Could be.
You know, with her when it all went down. And her and my mom always really had like a closer relationship than my mom and I had. So I was like, maybe that could be part of the reason too. Like, she feels that she was there, but she wasn't there almost, you know, because my mom, when she was in the hospital, she was kind of in and out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So she would like wake up from a dead sleep and look around the room, my sister said, and would look for her. So she felt bad that, because she knew the day that she left, that was the last time she was going to see her.
Mm.
So she has a hard time, I think, dealing with that more than the actual passing of her. But they read the first few chapters of the book.
And they want to have like a little like session like every week to like just kind of
talk about
get it out or whatever.
Yeah, because Nikki's like, you know, Ray asked me if I want to talk about it and I say no. And he asks me if I want him to stay and I say no. So she just wants to hold it in and not talk about it, where you are a little bit more probing with it. If you see that I'm having a hard time, and you'll kind of get it out of me instead of just saying, okay, I'll just leave you alone.
I know how to navigate those waters with you.
Yeah, we've been together long enough. Yeah,
at this point, like I know what I need to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like I knew that you were dealing with it in the springtime, and it wasn't like it wasn't like a big thing, but I knew that you had it on your mind, and that's kind of why I showed you that episode of Midnight Gospel, so you can get it out, you know, and you had a good cry about it, and then I knew that we were going to talk about it, and then we could flesh out, you know, like whatever you needed to do.
Yeah,
like
sometimes you do just need to cry about it.
That's all by design. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, none at all.
But I think like that's why you're ahead of that game though. And luckily you're fucking married to a goddamn creature now. So I mean, like, I'm in that realm and I can hold like a conversation with you from a different point of view, you know, to where you're not just hearing the same shit that everybody else in the fucking regular world is saying to you, you know, like I could talk to you about fucking souls and vessels and fucking goddamn, you know, dimensions and shit like that. And, well, yeah, you know, potentially give you a different viewpoint to maybe not be so sad about it.
I was always into the afterlife type thing. So I knew that when she went, she was going to be somewhere else. And I'm hoping that she's with my Busha and her, you know, her mom and dad, and that they came to greet her. And she's up there with her dogs that passed away. And she's fucking throwing them White Castles and shit.
I wish she would throw me some White Castles. Fuck.
But they went over a few chapters of the book, and I forget what the book's called, something about grief. But when I read the back of the book, it just said something about, not being able to go to work or, you know, things that I wasn't experiencing. So I felt like I didn't need to get it. But there, when they were talking about it, they also mentioned some things like people say to you after you lose somebody that doesn't help. Like when they say, I'm sorry for your loss.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, are you really? No.
That's like the equivalent of thoughts and prayers, you know?
Kind of, There's
a hurricane that ravaged your town, and then you hear on the news, you know, well, thoughts and prayers go out to the people that have nothing now. Well, bitch, I still have fucking nothing.
Right.
So thanks a lot for the T's and P's.
Some fucking T-shirts, you know? So, I don't know. I feel like I am going to get the book, because I guess there's, like, worksheets and stuff in there. And then I just,
It couldn't hurt.
Right. It couldn't hurt to do it, and I don't want to just come in there and not know what they're going to be talking about, because it is nice to talk about everything, you know, and just different portions of our life, because we talked about some things. I talked about the resentment I had a little bit because towards my mom, because I left at an early age, you know, I got kicked out, but then I would have never met you, so it's hard to hold resentment for that. But it was, you know, I had to pay her for my first car and, You know, it was just like stupid kid shit. You know, like Nikki got to go to college and I didn't. Nikki got a car and I had to pay for mine. You know, I couldn't go to the school that I wanted. We got in a fight and I left. You know, my brother stayed at home. So it's like all of us have a different kind of relationship with my mom. Like
sure.
I always feel like Jimmy and my mom have like a love-hate relationship almost.
Well, and as you were even just saying that right now, like it's hard, but it's something that you need to do and like start thinking, not like stop thinking about like things that happened to you. Like, mm-hmm. this is, you know, my, like, how I don't even really know how I want to say this. Like, you know, you're looking at it like take a step back and realize that, like, she was our age when all that shit was happening. You know what I mean? And, yeah. Like, what would you do right now if, you know, you found out, you know, this or you saw that or, like, you wouldn't know what to do. You were the firstborn, too. So you have the burden of being the fucking guinea pig. So right. Everything... you know, happens to you and it's like, well, we'll try this. And then, you know, I didn't like the outcome. So I'm going to course correct and I'm going to do it differently right. with the next one.
And I came to understanding with that. Her and I talked about it when we lived in the Plant City house and her and I had a conversation about it and she apologized and she's like, you are a science experiment. She's like, I didn't know what to do. And that was the thing. She's like, I never knew you felt that way. Cause I was the type of kid that always just wanted to make my parents proud. Like, if they upset me, I would just be like, well, they're my parents, so they're just going to be brutally honest with me or whatever, treat me the way they feel they need to, and I would just take it. And then it got to a point where I'm like, it's just too much. So her and I had a conversation, so it's not like I was harboring any resentment for her at that time. It was all in the past.
Mm.
But her and I just had a different relationship than her and my sister did. Her and my sister were very close, where they talked for hours, you know, every week or whatever.
I would like to see you, and I know you've gone with me and you haven't had the same effects that I have, but I would like to see you really set your intention on that and go into the tank, because mm-hmm. that's what triggered the, you know, like life-changing experience for me, the out of body experience in the float tank was when I said that I wanted to fix shit like with my mom. That's mm-hmm. that's what tricked it, because I've been back many times since then. You know, I went this week and I even took a little micro dose of Shroom Tech, you know, to try to kickstart the fucking process, because I've been chasing that dragon ever since I had that crazy experience and it hasn't been like that ever since. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that is or, you know, what's different. I
think you're trying too hard.
Well, I'm not though. That's the thing. I'm just letting it go. And yeah. I think that that's the problem. I think that time I specifically went in with the intention of I want to fix X, Y, and Z, and then that's what happened. And now I'm just like kind of loosey-goosey, let's see what happens, and it's not the same effect. But I think that helped me, because I had a strained relationship with my mom, and I mean, I still to a degree do, but like what I learned from that experience and brought back to the real world, I mean, like we took it to the next step. And I mean, that's still the next step in of, you know, way, way, way back. It's still, you know, way, you know, past or way behind where it should be, but it's still, we made progress. And now I think that if you went and you kind of went with that too, that maybe you could have some closure on that.
I don't feel like we left anything in a bad spot though. What I was saying is that we worked everything out. And she would call me because I made her laugh. If she was having a bad day, she would call me and I'd tell her a couple jokes or I'd make fun of Jimmy or whatever. And she would laugh about it. And she's like, I love when I call you because you make me laugh. So I don't feel like there was anything that needed to be worked out. I feel like we were in a good space. I feel like I was there for her when she needed me.
It's just the way you were explaining it. It sounded like, you know, it was still kind of a thing.
No. We talked it out. We were good. I understood where she was coming from. She saw where I was coming from, and that was squashed. So, and I was there for her when she needed me at the end, and I feel like maybe that's... I think I have a little bit more closure than others.
Yeah, I mean, that's good then. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, that's the worst thing, too, I think, is that when... selfishly, that was in the back of my mind in my situation too, because I was like, you know, like I'm holding on to shit that I really don't even know why anymore. And if something happens, whether it's a good relationship or a bad relationship or a no relationship or, you know, indifferent or whatever the case may be, once that's gone, then you don't have the opportunity
right.
to try to at least make it better or at least attempt to, just so you can say at the end of the day, I did everything in my power.
Well, and I think the difference is that my mom would understand and try to, I don't want to say, maybe just understand where I was coming from, where your mom just would jump on the defense. my mom would see my point of view where I don't feel your mom does.
No, it's, and I mean, she's got her own baggage too. And I mean, I'm standing on the, you know, the top of the mountain yelling for everybody to take mushrooms and get in a float tank and work your shit out. You know, like she would be prime candidate number one to like work your shit out because square one is fucking dissolving that ego and everything that you would want to say, well, you did this to me and this is what happened to me. And it's like, well, immediately when you get into that mode, you flip perspectives and it's like, well, what did I do to maybe trigger that? What did this,
well, that makes the other person say, I understand. And this is why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we had. So it's like, I understand.
That's good.
You know, you were a science experiment. I did the best that I knew how to do. I didn't realize that it hurt you like it did. And I was like, I understand where you're coming from. I've never been a parent before. So
yeah,
I get it.
Well, and in this specific example where your sister obviously isn't processing things the way that she would like, and you know, she's looking for an outlet. That's what I told you when you were telling me that what you were going to do, because you were kind of like, well, I mean, I don't even need this. So like, I don't know if I want to do it. And it's like, well, you don't need it. So be there for her and give your perspective to her and maybe be an example for her of what, you know, has worked for you. Like take that opportunity to, you know, help guide her through that. And that'll hopefully at the end of the day, make y'all closer for it.
Yeah. I just, you know, another thing in the book that they said was like there's steps to grief, and I don't agree with that. I feel like everybody they work through things their own way. So I feel like giving somebody a timeline isn't fair because I really don't feel that it'll ever go away.
No, and I mean, I'm sure you can jump around too. I mean, just because like step three is this and step five is that, you could be feeling step fucking seven, you know, in the beginning. And, you know, I mean, like everybody processes, you know, life changing shit differently.
Well, and that's the thing, too. It was just we had a hard time understanding why she was doing that to herself, because everybody just wanted to help her and she didn't want the help. But she was in so much pain because her legs weren't working because she had clots in them. She was self-medicating because she was in pain.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the other time, it's just like, well, you know that Boucha had the same things happen to her and she had to go. My Boucha had to have an artery from her neck put in her legs to help her circulation. So I don't know if that's hereditary or genetic or whatever, but she knew what it was and she kept putting it off.
Mm.
So you can't help somebody that doesn't want to help themselves either, because it's like you come from a place of love and they feel you're attacking them.
Mm-hmm.
But when she did finally go in to get it fixed, that's when all this other shit happened. Because when she had to go in and she was ended up having the strokes and then they admitted her, then she was having the withdrawals and that's what ultimately took her.
I mean, maybe subconsciously she knew, you know, that was her journey and that's why she did the things that she did, you know.
Well, it got to the point where she fell down the stairs at work, like, you know, at the back of the, because she worked at the oil refinery and they have those steep ass set of stairs, and it got to the point where she couldn't walk up the stairs and she had fallen, and then my Uncle Mike had to call my brother to take her to the emergency room, and that's when they admitted her and they told her, like, well, all the shit was going on. So if that wouldn't have happened, then she probably wouldn't have went. It took something like that to get her there.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the type of person she was in this life.
She was a strong ass lady, man. You know,
yeah. I mean,
almost too stubborn. I feel like I'm the same way, because we talk about my lumps and stuff, and I've never gotten them checked out. I don't know what they are.
Yeah, I know. It bothers the shit out of me. You know, what am I supposed to do?
I need to go get that taken care of.
You know, that's the difference between you and I, because you nag me for shit and then it's one reaction and I nag you for shit and it's in one ear and not the other.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know, I need to go get them checked out and I will. I just, for me, it's more missing work. Like, I don't want to miss work. Which is fuck off. I know. It's stupid. It's stupid.
It don't mean shit, dude. Miss work. Fucking take care of yourself.
I know. I know that on the inside. But I don't know what is...
Know that shit on the outside. Know that shit on the fucking uptime. Know that shit on the down low.
I don't know why I have that feeling. You know, like, I don't want to disappoint anybody. But I've always been like that.
Mm.
I had to burp. I'm still burping up that meatloaf I ate yesterday.
You're such a classy broad.
I know. But yeah, we're going to meet every Sunday at 10 and talk and stuff. And I'm going to get the book, because like you said, it's not going to hurt anything. And
well, good. And what I mean, if I may, you know, give a little bit of advice maybe to you about some things to bring to them, maybe recommend them to watch that episode of that show, you know, and tell them, you know, you're probably going to cry your eyes out, but you know, it'll be good for you to see it and to hear that conversation. And maybe, you know, refer them back to some of the episodes that we've talked about it to hear our conversations and things, you mm-hmm. know, I mean, I'm super into a lot of that shit right now too. And if they have any questions, I could refer them to a couple other people that are better spoken than us and more versed in their, sure. their fields that they can, you know, they can hear what they have to say.
Well, Eileen's dad, they lost him to alcoholism too. He had liver cancer. So it was just a lot. And I mean, we lost my mom, but I mean, she's lost my mom, her dad, and then her aunt. So, I mean, she's dealing with a lot
right
now.
In a short period of time too.
Yeah. But they're moving down here.
Who?
Eileen and Mark.
They've been saying that shit for 10 fucking years.
They're going to try to be down here in June, so I'm looking forward to that.
Be down where?
Well, Nikki's been telling them to look in fucking Wesley Chapel and shit, but gross. I'm like, no, look at Riverview. So, but she's, you know, a physical therapist, so she needs to find a job, and he's getting out of BP, so he's going to have pension and something else, but he's going to have to find something.
Man, eventually. No disrespect, but I'll believe it when I fucking see it. You've been saying that shit for 10 fucking years, Lenny, if you're listening.
She asked what our podcast name was today.
Yeah, I mean,
Nikki
like...
Nikki asked me, she's like, are you guys doing the show? I was like, yeah, if I get out of here, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, I was going to tell you, don't rush yourself, you know, because, I mean, if we didn't do it tonight, we'd do it tomorrow. And if we didn't do it tomorrow, we'd fucking skip a week and whatever.
I said, you know,
whatever.
It's just Chris and I now. So I was like, if we do it Friday, we do it Friday. If we do it Saturday, Saturday, Sunday, Sunday. And she's like, oh, you guys don't have guests? And I was like, well, sometimes we do, but this week we don't, you know. So yeah. It's just on the fly or whatever. Like, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
She's like, what are your topics? I'm like, sure, we'll talk about Valentine's Day.
Well, you know, it is a nice feeling to know that the people closest to you don't know what you do as we're coming up on our 4-year podcast anniversary. So shout out to y'all for being so involved in our lives.
Well, I wish my sister and I spoke more. It's just life gets in the way just like anything else. And days turn into weeks and weeks turn into months. And all of a sudden the kids are turning a year older and starts all over again. But she's also real like scared about this COVID shit. So Eileen said she got the vaccine because she works in healthcare. She said the first dose was good. The second dose, she was like throwing up and it was like 24-hour flu.
Mm. So. Did you tell her when I got COVID, that's all it was?
No, I said, I said you had a mild fever and then you had body aches for a few days, but you weren't throwing up or anything.
Mm-mm.
You just had body aches and didn't feel real good. Mm-mm. I told them, I yelled at you and you had to eat something. I came in there. I was like, if you're going to let your body be weak, you're going to stay weak. You need to eat. Goddamn. Florida stories.
Oh, is that your segue? Segue champ? You ready? Are we long in the tooth here? You want to hear about the Florida shit?
Let's do it. I'm surprised there's not more Florida stories this week because of the Super Bowl.
How do you know what there is and what there isn't? Yeah. I got my sheet over here. What are you assuming?
Oh, I guess nothing.
Woo, doggy. Hey, Beatrice.
Yeah?
Get your ass in here. These No Offense boys about to do welcome to Florida again.
Let me grab the natty.
Oh, shit, and I thought my family was fucked up.
So each and every week, our What the Fuck Florida Stories are sponsored by Official Clothing. Leading in Hip Hop Official is a streetwear company creating high-quality t-shirts, hats, and jewelry at an affordable price, featuring recreations of classic hip-hop and sports logos, as well as original designs. There's something at Official for all tastes. Check out official.com, that's OHFISHL, and use code HTNOS to save 25% off of your order of beautiful handcrafted t-shirts, hats, and jewelry. Official Clothing.
Live by your own rules.
So... burying the lead, as you tend to do.
I do.
First story, we're in Tampa, where Florida man was charged with trespassing and running on the field during the Super Bowl.
Oh, perfect. You know that bitch made $374,000?
And she buries the lead in the buried lead.
I don't even know what was
Jesus
on his...
Christ,
he was wearing
dude.
Like a Borat suit.
Do you want to just do it? Or
well, what did it say on his Borat suit? Because I don't even know who he's running for.
Okay, here. So, the Florida man who ran onto the field during Super Bowl in a bright pink leotard, or it could have been a bathing suit, was charged with trespassing and has already been released from jail after posting $500 bond. Yuri Andrade, 31, from Boca Raton, according to Hillsborough County court documents. Police say he's the guy who ran onto the field Sunday night in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 55 mm-hmm. wearing a skimpy thong-backed outfit. Now, as soon as that happened, you perked up like when it was going on, and then they cut away. They didn't show anything. You were like, what the fuck? They're not even showing it.
They didn't show him tackle him.
You've seen that video since, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was running all the way to the end zone, and he fucking gave up the ball on the one, goddammit. Hillsborough County Sheriff fucking speared him like Goldberg.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't quite make it to the end zone before being tackled by security personnel on the 3-yard line and escorted out of Raymond James Stadium. His streaking stunt was apparently a publicity stunt planned by Vitaly. Now, this is going to be a challenge here.
Okay.
Zadorovetsky?
Okay, sounds right.
Obviously, a Russian descent. Who, according to multiple reports, runs an adult website. Ooh. So what was on the front of his bathing suit or whatever was that dude's last name, Zador Voretsky or whatever, uncut or some shit, or whatever. That's the name of the website for the porn shit that the guy does.
Nobody would have saw that.
Not one person. They just would, I guess that's what the girls wear, you know, when they promote the fucking thing, because obviously that wasn't built for a dude.
They need to come up something a little shorter than that, like VT or something, .com.
Yeah,
Porn R Us or something.
How about if you're going to be some sort of fucking porn baron, don't have the last name Zadorovetsky.
Right.
Fucking, you should be playing goddamn left wing for the fucking Detroit Red Wings, dude. You shouldn't be fucking doing a porn company.
Right.
Fucking Vitaly Zadorovetsky. But yeah, like you said, this is where it gets interesting. He bet $50,000 on himself. Because they do, we talked about this before the game about the prop bets, you know, about, you know, what the jersey number of the first player that scores a touchdown is going to be, or color of the Gatorade or the coin toss, like all the different prop bets. One of the things was, will there be a streaker during the game? And he got plus 750 odds that there would not be. So he bet on that there would, mm-hmm. because he was going to be that fucking guy.
Right.
And he had a friend of his, like, cause a diversion so he could get onto the field and, like, make it all the way onto the fucking field and count as a streaker, you know, and run goddamn 60 yards down the field or whatever he did. Went to jail, got released on $1,000 bond, and then fucking he's like, okay, well, I'm going to cash my bet for $374,000 now and still come out in the clear.
Yep.
Here's where it's gotten interesting since, like, all this has happened. The sportsbook Bovada, which is like the main online sports book for all this shit, he's been running his mouth like, yeah, that's me. I did this and this is what happened and I made all this money. They've caught wind of it. So they've refunded everybody that bet the other way and lost. They've refunded all their money. And now they're investigating into him to where they're not going to pay him out now because it's like some sort of gambling collusion to where he's affecting
the cards.
Yeah, he's affecting the outcome.
Right.
Now he had the bet placed by a friend. Somebody else placed the fucking bet. So his name's not on it whatsoever, but he's on fucking Instagram and he's doing fucking radio interviews saying blah blah blah, it's me.
Right.
So Bovada's like, okay, well, fuck you then, player, we're not paying you out. Yeah. So he might have actually lost out on that because he can't keep his mouth shut.
Wow.
Which is it's a fucking shame, because really it's brilliant, man. Like, if I would have known that that's like how you do that, I would have fucking did that shit.
Right.
I'll get arrested at Ray J and pay a grand to make 374. Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah,
I mean, why not? Why wouldn't you do that? But yeah, that's where he is right now. So, I mean, realistically, though, I hope he fucking gets paid out on that shit, because I love stories like that, but it's not looking so good for him right now.
Nope.
Valentine's Day in Florida.
Yeah.
We've got Valentine's Day stories.
Ooh. Make reservations at the Crystals?
Volusia County. A Florida man is on the run after stealing
lady's heart.
Shut the fuck up. After stealing one girlfriend's old engagement ring so he could use it to propose to his other girlfriend.
Oh my God. Do they live in the same trailer?
Joseph Davis, 48, is wanted on a grand theft charge after allegedly betraying. It has to be worth a certain amount. That's where grand theft kicks in. Isn't that how that works? Where it's got to be worth like $5,000 or something?
That bitch's ring wasn't $5,000. They exaggerate.
How you know? Always ever blaming the victim. Always ever blaming the victim.
I don't know. If you have to steal a ring back, then you don't have the money to buy another one. I don't know. It just seems cheap to me.
Joseph Davis, 48, is wanted on a grand theft charge after allegedly betraying two girlfriends that he met on the dating site OkCupid.
man.
And the Volusia County Sheriff's Office said in a statement on Thursday. Now, I don't know much about online dating, okay? Nope. Luckily, have never had to go that route because we've been together since the internet has been a thing. So we predate online dating. Mm-hmm. But from what I understand, OkCupid isn't the one you go to for love. That's the one you go to for hookups. It's like Plenty of Fish. You know, like you go on Plenty of Fish because you're just trying to get your dick sucked behind the Best Buy.
I thought it was
just Tinder. Tinder came along after. So, I mean, like it made it more accessible. But I think these were even before that. You know what I mean? Like when you actually went on the site or whatever, I think these are like the hookup sites. This ain't like eHarmony. They ain't giving you 200 questions to do a compatibility fucking survey.
Okay.
So it says Davis used the alias Joe Brown with one girlfriend and Marcus Brown with the other. Girlfriend number one, who lives in Orange City, and had dated Davis since 2015, told detectives that she learns through some Facebook sleuthing that Davis was engaged to the second woman. Worse, she saw on the woman's Facebook page that her rival was wearing an engagement ring and wedding band identical to her own from a previous marriage, according to the sheriff's office. Now, again, don't have any experience with this, but when a marriage ends, is it customary to keep the wedding bands?
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Like, for what? Like, I would assume that that's bad juju. Like, I would want to throw that shit into the fire like Lord of the Rings, dude.
They're worth money.
Fucking no, toss that shit into Mount Doom. What's it going to serve you?
Just the fact that he's probably still paying on
or take
shit.
It to Warax fucking pawn shop and sell that shit and get the money for it. Why are you have it sitting in a jewelry box? It's from a failed fucking relationship.
I feel like they just keep it out of spite.
Out of spite?
Yeah. Like, okay. You're probably still paying on this shit, so I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to give it back.
Well, after checking Facebook, she checked her jewelry box and found out that her rings and other items were missing. About $6,200 in property had been stolen from her.
It was from her previous marriage. It wasn't even from their relationship. It was from her relationship prior to
He took her ring to propose to the second. It's a very tangled Valentine's Day weave. Web. These fucking Raging Eagles are hitting hard. The girlfriend began contacting Davis's fiance, who lives in Orlando and who had begun dating him in 2016. Soon, both women were commiserating and joining forces and turning on Davis. Gallingly, the two women learned that each other had not only been lied to but allegedly stolen from, and the second girlfriend reported her laptop and jewelry went missing after Davis moved out of her apartment. She also recalled Davis taking her to the first girlfriend's house in Orange City while she was away at work. He claimed to her that this was his house and even asked her to move in with him. The second girlfriend packed up her apartment and was ready to move in, and then he said that the deal fell through. So he was trying to, like, say, move into this house with me, and it wasn't even his. It was his other girlfriend's.
He's a fucking loser.
This is a very, very strange situation. He has a previous rap sheet that includes an active warrant in Oregon for a hit-and-run crash, domestic assault, and possession of cocaine.
Well, you gotta afford all those wedding rings somehow, I guess. Fucking coke man.
Infidelity is never going to work out for you, man. Especially when you're trying that close to
Who wants to get engaged to two people?
Right?
It's weird.
It is weird. I mean, that's what I mean. Like, you're running too close. You're asking a bitch to move in with you, and then you're using the house of the first girlfriend. Yeah. Like,
what kind of job do you have that you're like, I'm just going to be gone this whole week? Every other week, I'm at one person's house and the other person's. Like, how do you?
But you hear about that, though. You hear about guys having, like, whole, like, second lives. Yeah. Like, second families and shit.
Business trips.
I never understood how that works. Like, how you juggle that.
It'd be too stressful.
Fuck yeah, it would be, dude.
I don't think any bitch is worth all that trouble.
You don't think so?
Hell no. I'm not.
She cut me off. I was going to say I probably tend to agree with you, and then you threw that in there, and that would have followed up right after that. You ever get caught up into a rapid text conversation, and you reply to something, and it comes after a different reply from the other person, and then it's out of context, and you're like, whoa, I didn't mean it like that. Mm-hmm. That's verbally the equivalent.
Got it.
Keeping with the infidelity theme, though, we're in Pensacola, where a Florida man was accused of throwing a woman onto a bed and smelling her to see whether or not she had cheated on him.
Seems legit.
Now, I've heard of women smelling dicks. I've never heard of men smelling vaginas.
Oh, that's where he was smelling?
Yes.
Smells like whole ass Badoosie up in here.
What a reference. Good for you. Walter Medina, 34, of Pensacola, was arrested Thursday and charged with two charges of battery and one sexual assault. According to an arrest report, the victim said Medina confronted her about 1 p.m. Thursday and accused her of cheating on him. After an argument, the victim told police that Medina wanted to verify her alleged infidelity. The victim claimed that he threw her onto the bed, removed her pants and underwear, and began smelling her private area.
Man.
Now, here's the thing. I don't understand what you're going for. Okay, Bloodhound? Like, what are you actually hoping to smell? Like,
yeah, because it's different if you're trying to smell a dick. Because, I mean, pussies, some smell, some don't. So I understand, like, if you're trying to sniff a dick to see if it smells like a pussy. But dicks don't really smell. And pussies would smell worse than dicks. So even if you're sniffing for dicks, you're only going to smell pussy.
I guess maybe at best he was trying to see if, like, it was disturbed, you know, like it was all like whipped up into a froth or something. You know what I mean? Like maybe she had something.
Ew.
You know what I mean? She had something going on down there. A little fucking chocolate pudding or something going on down there.
Chocolate pudding.
That's tapioca. Gross. I don't fucking know. Maybe some tapioca pudding tapioca down there.
Would be probably a better.
Would that
analogy
be what it is? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, because discharge ain't brown, dude.
Well, maybe there was some booty. Booty eating.
Ew.
I mean, people be eating ass. It's 2021. People be eating ass.
Shit in them. Come on, man. That was just a bad reference. Chocolate pudding. That's terrible.
Medina left the residence, and when he returned later that night, he allegedly struck the victim, according to a police report. The victim then called police, who arrested Medina after he attempted to flee the residence. He's currently being held in the Escambia County Jail without bail. Mm. Results were inconclusive about the smell and the vagina.
I bet that's where I'm fucking going to jury duty on. Fucking this stupid shit.
I hope you would. I hope you. I'm still so jealous of you, dude. You always get picked. I got called one time. We've lived here for 16 fucking years. I've gotten called once. You get called like every other year. It's like bam, jury duty, bam, jury duty, bam, jury duty. You get a fucking sandwich. You get to go downtown. You get to miss work. It's a whole ass fucking thing, dude. It's great. Don't even appreciate it. No, you don't even fucking appreciate it, dude.
I don't want to go up there and wait in line because you have to wait in a waiting room for hours. And if they don't call your name, you have to come back the next day.
Yeah, perfect. Miss 2 days of work.
I have to take vacation for that shit.
No, you don't. You don't have to do that.
Well, I have to see because I didn't have jury duty when I had this job last time.
They'll hook you up. I promise they'll hook you up.
We'll see.
They'll hook you up. Last one I got for you, we're in Naples, where a Florida woman was arrested Thursday after allegedly stabbing her sister with an EpiPen multiple times, claiming to be allergic to drunks.
That sounds amazing.
Well, and it's funny, like the way that things went with the conversation tonight, you know, talking about you and your sister and, you know, a kind of a strained relationship, because that's what I thought of when I read this story. I thought of you two, like in another life, like you two old ass bitches, you know, that happened to live together and shit. And, you know, you're just sitting at home and she pissed you off. And next thing you know, fucking crack, crack, crack with the fucking EpiPen. But the story goes like this. Joanna Zielinski, 62, is facing a domestic battery charge after the incident, according to Naples police. Police responded to the home around 10:30 after someone called 911 from the area and hung up the phone.
Oh.
Officers connected with a woman who said that she was drinking alcohol with her sister, Joanna, before falling asleep on the couch, leaving Joanna to drink more alone and to take some drugs.
Oh, she was mad that she had to drink alone?
Yeah, well,
guess so.
I mean, like, I don't like to drink alone. I do it, but I don't like to do it.
I'd be the one passed out for sure.
For sure. You've been the one passed out. And you didn't leave me any drugs.
No, I did not.
The woman said that Joanna, quote, went crazy and attacked her with an EpiPen, stabbing her multiple times before calling 911.
Oh, my.
Police asked why she called, and she responded by saying, quote, I'm allergic to drunks, so I injected her with the EpiPen so she wouldn't be drunk anymore. I don't see what the big deal.
Oh, okay. EpiPens aren't for that.
I don't think that there's a thing to just make you not drunk.
Right.
You know, like, there's no invention in the world to just make you not drunk.
No.
Other than like a fucking cup of coffee and thyme.
Right. Or some grease. Greasy food.
That's hangover. That ain't even drunk. That's fucking the next day.
Yeah.
Paramedics evaluated the sister and discovered that Joanna didn't hold the EpiPen properly, so no medication was actually injected into
her. That's good. Still got stabbed, though. That sucks.
Yeah. The unnamed sister told police that she's been hurt by Zelensky multiple times in the past, so she wishes to press charges.
Oh, man, but who's going to pay her half of the rent? That's what I think of. I'm like, do I press charges? Then I have to pay all these bills myself. Nope.
Yeah, I know that's how you think.
I know.
I know that's how you think. You're such a romantic.
That's why I don't go to the doctor, because I don't want to pay bills.
Madam, that is all I've got for you tonight.
Sweet.
Do you have anything else? I know I was going to talk to you. My new favorite thing to do is ask you if you've watched any new dumpers, because you're diversifying your portfolio. So
listen, you told me that Tanked is a dumper, and it is not.
I didn't. It's not a dumper. I asked you ever so casually in passing if you've been watching any dumpers this week, and you said no. And I just happened to say, well, I saw that stupid-ass fucking Fish Tank show on. What do you call that? You got so...
Such a good
super
show.
Offended. I mean, like, okay, before we get out of here, real quick, Dunchy's Dupper session. Tell me, here, you're on the jury right now. Mm-hmm. Plead your case for fucking... No, I'm the jury. You plead your case for fucking Tanked, why it's not a dumper.
Because they did the Fish Tank at the Salt Life restaurant we went to in St. Augustine. And they do big tanks for stars like Tracy Morgan, who they turned his whole guest pool house into a shark tank. And they did Uriah Favor. And they've done Boogie, whatever his name is. And they did
a Boogie
bunch,
Boogie?
Yeah, they did a bunch Boogie of other Boogie. People. And I just like the ocean, and I like the fish. And these people come up with these crazy designs, and they pull it off. And then, like, the wives are all hot. So then they go into the fish market, and they're like, we're doing a tank for so-and-so, and we need fish. And then they'll go and look at all the fish and stuff, and they'll tell you what they are and what they do and where they swim in the tank. I just really enjoy it.
I've watched snippets when I'm passing through, and this is... Everybody that has looked at a reality TV show knows how sometimes it's not actually... It's scripted. Not some. All of it is scripted. And they're bad actors. Like they
try to be funny.
They try to take their lines and really run with it. Like, I imagine they have like table reads for these scripts, and they're maybe. Like, well, I'm going to do this and this. And they're like, no, Dan, just fucking read the fucking line like we gave it to you. And he's like, no, I'm going to do it better. It's going to be like this. And then
it's Brett and Wade.
Brett, what the fuck ever, dude. And then they get out there, and he's like, tries to make that joke, and his eyes get all big, and then it's just like fucking crickets, you know? Yeah.
They got one guy in the shop, his name is Redneck, and he's a redneck.
So it's not just a clever name.
Nope. And he does all the coral work and stuff. It's really good. I enjoy it.
You enjoy all of them. I want them to. That's the thing. I label these dumpers. You don't. You enjoy everything that you're watching. You love watching two fucking... You love watching a ton, literally a ton of redneck women sitting there making jokes at each other. That's a ton of fucking human. Literally. And you're like, it's the best shit ever.
You talking about 1,000-pound sisters?
Yeah, fucking 1,000-pound sisters.
The Slayton sisters? They're so funny! One of them's got an eye that goes to outer space.
Yeah, she fucking does.
They call each other bitch.
She's got a fucking
hilarious
brow line like a goddamn Neanderthal.
Her sister said they went to the aquarium, and they said, hey, Tammy, that beluga whale looks just like you. Because they got the head. And she's big like a whale.
That's the shit that Logan would say to Lucas.
Dude, it's hilarious. It wouldn't be any less funny. Wouldn't be any less funny.
Hey, that looks like you.
Let's just talk about how Lucas is a gangster.
How is he?
Because he slammed that door, and you're like, you gonna pay for that when it breaks? And he was just like, yup.
You know what? This fucking weekend right here, never more did I want to just pack a bag and fucking just fucking go in the truck and see where I ended up. Like, I might have just fucking ended up in goddamn... New Jersey or Chicago or fucking somewhere, dude. Like, just get the fuck out of here. Because I'm motherfuckers that don't know me, or let me take that back. People that know me know that I don't cook. Right. Because I'm married to a fantastic cook. So why should I do that? You know, mm-hmm. Like if I was married to goddamn Tom Brady, would I try to throw footballs? No. I mean, like, that's your job. So. I mean, I'm married to a fantastic cook, so I'm not even going to try my hand at it. But since you were the true one-arm ninja this week, like, fucking Failing Hollywood ain't got nothing on you. You were one-arm ninja, of like, for real, Well, I mean, he's one-armed ninja for real, too. But you're the new one-armed ninja. So, I mean, like, I had
to go out. I'm the one-armed armed ninja because I do still have an arm.
Sure. I had to actually learn how to cook a few things. And people are going to laugh because, I mean, of what it was. You know, like, I made you breakfast and I made you fucking bacon and eggs. And it's like, oh, big fucking deal. But, like, it is a big fucking deal because I don't do it. And I don't right. know how to do it. And I fucking taught myself how to do it. And I did it. And you said that it was good. And I did it a couple days in a row. And I'm in the kitchen and I'm fucking doing my thing. And that little bastard came running through the house and he slammed my fucking door. And I said, don't slam that door. When you break it, you're going to have money to fix it. And he was just like, yup. And I had bacon on the stove and I was flipping my shit. And I couldn't even like run over there to deal with him. And I'm like, you know what? Just go to your fucking room, okay? Just go to your room. I don't even want to see you right now because of your smart ass remarks. And he turned around. And he was like, all right. Turn around, went in his room, shut the fucking door. I didn't see that motherfucker for like 3 hours. And then when I left, I went somewhere. I think I went to get you a prescription or something. I like left yeah. the house. You said he came out and like did like the look to the left, look to the right, coast is clear. And he came running out into the fucking studio. I was like, what up? Is he gone? Mm-hmm. Fucking dickhead.
He was like, hey, mom, where's dad? I'm like, I don't know. He went somewhere. And then that was it.
Yeah, I thought that story was going somewhere. And then that nope. was the climax.
No, that was it.
It's super fucking late, and I think we should get to bed because tomorrow we have a full day of Valentine's, you know, love and all of that bullshit. So let's tie a bow on this, and we'll get the fuck out of here.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, midnight. Valentine. It is. Hey, look at that. 12:12. What?
Hey.
Hi. This has been another episode of the Hashtag No Offense Show, episode 165. Go ahead and follow us. Subscribe on all your major podcast platforms, wherever you choose to grab us. Please click that link. Give us a review, a rating. All that shit helps us. We're HTNOS on all the socials. That's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Give us a follow there if you wouldn't mind. Like the post, share the post. All of these things help us grow, and we appreciate it ever so much. We're also part of a fantastic podcast network called the Inner Circle. Inner Circle Podcast Network, innercirclepn.com, innercirclepn on all the socials. That is us and our squad. Simmons and Moore, Shit Happens When You Party Naked, The Plunge, The Hood Diner, Failing Hollywood, The Untrained Eye, and Creatures in the Night. Bringing you high quality entertainment for every day of the week.
Yes.
You'll never be at a loss.
Yep.
And I'm super excited for Creatures. Anyone that follows Creatures, we got a big time flat earther coming on to talk to us on Tuesday. We got the episode with Amy Belair in a couple weeks. I'm super pumped for Creatures right now. We got a lot of shit, cool shit coming up.
Awesome.
And I can't wait. So please check out Creatures. The live streams are on the Inner Circle PN Facebook page as well as the YouTube. I am The Real Wutzke everywhere.
I'm Duchess Wutzke on Twitter.
And
we're the Hashtag No Offense Show.
You got it, baby. Heart hands, Valentine's.
Oh.
Heart hands.
It's the hug wolf.